The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Welcome to the panel. This panel last year was set up as just a stress time management panel, and the feedback from us one else was that it caused more stress because it told you a bunch of things that may or may not apply, and there was no discussion. So what I can see this tonight to do is we're all doing well here. We're all evening students last year, and we all had Popper.
Should look like based on your student research. If you go into Penn, if you go into the reserve
bunch of city guys that have left shells in there that we have big broad brush stroke over a particular area. So second semester, I made up for that, and I went directly to the library and did all my research pretty much in the library to start out, and then went on the internet and did cases, and I think that really helped me in the long run, I guess, for the my day job. I have other things to say, but I don't know.
Hi guys, my name is Katie Houston. I was a part-time student last year and worked full-time at Dell, and I switched to full-time this year. I am now involved in a bunch of stuff. I'm on the International Law Review, I'm on the board, I'm a reporter at the fellow, and I'm also on the leadership of the office. So all of that is keeping me too busy. In addition, I'm trying to figure out a new schedule that doesn't involve a job. It's a little weird to me. But I guess I learned a lot of things my first year. One, I would say that, well, first of all, something very basic. I, in my Dean's Fellow class last week, I had a student ask me how to set up printers here at WCL, and I realized that no one ever told me to do that. Does anyone have any?
On the third sheet of the little packet that was around is the link to the printing, the internet printing instructions, how to install that on your computer. Although, I will say, using last year, you have to install each printer separately. It won't just be updated now, but it won't just install separately.
And they're not all labeled in the library.
No, Lily is the one, you should definitely look at Lily, because she's the one in the printer room of the West Lawn LexisNexis room. People don't usually use Lily, and they use Yoga or Robert instead. So, like, if you need something printed, you don't want to wait for other people to print stuff.
Yeah, and I know I was frustrated being part-time last year to help us because of our hours they cut off my phone. So that's information that you would normally intuitively just know. The other thing also came from one of my students today who was asking me about outlining. And I know there's going to be a separate workshop on this, but if anyone is worried about exams right now, they should stop worrying about exams. Guys, you have a long time before exams start, and really should not be focusing on what you need to learn right now and start studying right now. I had someone come to me and ask me to do an outline. It wasn't how to start outlining today. I told them that we could calm down a little bit and not worry about that.
Don't worry.
The other thing that I wish I would have known when I was in first spot is that if you plan to work at a law firm when you graduate, networking now is something you need to start now. I wish that I had taken advantage of different opportunities when I'm here. And I know the word networking is really scary to me. I had no idea what it meant. But some simple things you can do are just text a lot of your interest in the ADA website for those groups. Sign up like $5, join the group that you're interested in, and they have me go and network with groups. Like I said, it's never too early to start that process.
Along those same lines, if you go to the ADA website, they have student leadership opportunities with different sections. So if you have a particular interest, like I'm interested in transportation law, commercial motor vehicle law, so I applied to be the student representative of the Commercial Transportation Litigation Committee, and so that's what I'm doing this year. So I'm going to go to a convention to network with some practicing attorneys in that area. So that's another option that a lot of students don't know about. I just stumbled on it on the website. So definitely look forward to those opportunities.
Would you say that applies to non-private sector job opportunities as well? Would you start networking as a 1L at government agencies or non-profit?
Yeah. I think that the reason I mentioned firms is that I'm sure you all have been very difficult to start establishing relationships now. It's good. I'll be brief because you all get to hear a lot from me. I know I'll be in front of you a lot, but
the two things kind of silly about WCL, which are the building itself that I learned, that I thought were just I was very happy when I figured out it was stair level 2. It doesn't actually go all the way down to the first floor. So go on stair level 1. Go on down. The other thing is, on the fourth floor, there's actually a filtered water spout that's not a water fountain that fills up the water a lot faster. I know it's very random, but I was
and hot water that you don't have to pay for.
If you come, okay, this is the fourth floor. This is where you have ports and contracts. Go this way. So
opposite diagonal.
Yeah, opposite diagonal. Ports and contracts. Not sure. So go through the elevator corridor and then over this way to the lounge area. Oh, it's where you picked up the Bob Proper's portable. It's actually really good. It's that little lounge area there, so it's right by the office.
And it has there's a hot water spigot there too, so if you need tea or something, you don't want to have to go upstairs.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Where's the microwave?
The microwave is there, too.
It's on the fourth floor?
Yeah. There's one on the sixth floor.
Yeah, but the sixth floor is closed on the weekends, at night. Sorry. So.
The cafeteria area is. The actual
dining area is open.
But where the vending machines are and all that, that's totally open.
Where is that compared to?
On the far way to the other side of the cafeteria.
Oh, really? And there's
right there.
And there's
vending machines anywhere else. Just the sixth floor.
In a closet. That's part.
Really? Awesome. Okay.
I guess on a more serious note, I'm married, I work full time, and I'm a law student. What I did, sort of Kirsten did, feedback on Kirsten says, from Friday night to Sunday at noon, I didn't do anything in law school. Unless I absolutely had to. There's a major project due and I don't have more time, or something's going to take up my time. I'd walk out Sunday afternoon, Sunday. But that really helped keep my marriage alive and keep me grounded, because as much as it tries to consume me, law school isn't the be-all and end-all of your life for the next 3 years. And you're going to be a much better lawyer practicing than not practicing. It's hard during the week because you're past till 8 o'clock at night and home for your class at 10 o'clock or better end. So if you can walk off
the tile on the weekends, or do nothing else. I think there's a whole lot for it. Yeah. I guess my name is Greg Softjack. Stood in front of your classroom. Question before. But I guess my main thing is to make sure to get involved in. To do a lot of WCL. I know, especially when I was really stressed and I didn't really have that much time or what I thought for time. But I did the mood board competition, the write-on process. I got involved with student organizations. And I thought that made my experience here at WCL a little more fulfilling. You get to meet a lot of great people outside of your section, which is also a great thing. I think this is going to be a little scary point, but I also wanted to say that I think we all understand that grades are important in law school, but I think your first semester grades are really important. That's what's going to help you find a job in the summer, and then your first year grades are going to help you grade on the law review. So to get off to a good start your first semester and more generally your first year is really important here at WCL. So those are the two things I have.
My name is Jennifer Collins. I am also 2L. I actually transferred into the full-time program my second semester, but if any of you are thinking about doing that, know that you'll still have a majority of your classes with the English section, which I thought was pretty cool, but you know, being a student, obviously.
I was a paralegal and worked full time my first semester, and now I'm on the Gender Journal, and I'm the events coordinator and Women's Pride Association liaison for the Women's Pride Association here. I think my couple big bits of advice would be definitely take time for yourself, like everybody said. For me, it was Fridays. I did not do anything after school. And that just, like, was my start day. And then Saturday and Sunday, if I had to think about something in law school or what have you, I did that. But Friday was my day. Unlike Greg, I don't think that first semester grades should not stress you out too much. And I'd like to explain that. It's not that you shouldn't try and be worried about it, but for me, first grades are always testers. It's a sense time for you to get a sense of like what you need to do, change your strategy, test it out. If you're an evening student, it's only 3 classes. So it's really is a tester GPA. That's not to say that you should try hard, but don't feel like because you didn't do Stella your first semester that you're ruined for the rest of the school. So I didn't do Stella my first semester, and I recovered decently and learned my lessons and such. And one of the lessons I did learn was, for me at least, continuously doing some sort of review throughout the semester is a pretty good way to study. It's not to say that you need to outline all through the semester, but maybe going back and just looking over class notes to the extent that you have time is a really great way to just kind of get the overall picture and get a good sense of what's going on so that when you do sit down to outline, the stuff that you review or that you learned at the beginning of the school year isn't kind of dusty in your head. The other bit of advice I would say is go in and take advantage of the professors and the other resources that we have on this campus. All pay a lot of money every year, and the money that you're spending is paying those people's salaries, so you might as well make them work for it. So go in and talk to the professors, talk to them about networking and what you're interested in. We have such a wealth of knowledge at the school. To the extent that you can take advantage of that, do it. Even if you're not here during the regular hours, professors are really cool about, you know, meeting with you when you're available because they get here at funky times too, or they stay late or what have you. But creating those relationships is really important for the guys.
Piggybacking off that, if you guys, I know Popper has the participation where, you know, contribute to the discussion and not feel bumped your grade up a half grade. Just be prepared that usually a lot of people will just try to talk in class and get their participation up, their grade up that way. But most of the time, if you don't go in and speak with them during office hours or, you know, have a kind of a personal connection with the teachers, not just talking, but with the teachers in general, you probably won't get that extra bump because they still, you know, it's a 90-person class or 75-person class, they still, it'll just be a face to them. So if you're looking for that half grade bump in participation, actually go in and talk to them during office hours.
You mentioned, like, focusing on first semester grades so you can get a summer job your first summer, but most of us work, we have jobs. I guess I'm a little bit like, you know, do a lot of part-time kids quit their jobs in their second semester of their first year and like focus on law school, you know, focus on like law work? Or like what do kids do?
Well, depends on I work full-time, I still there's a perception that you have to have your summer internship to be employed a lot once you graduate. And you have to remember that is focused a lot on students that have just come out of college, have no work experience, have no life experience. Everything that you do in your job, in your work life, is going to contribute to your resume when you graduate and when you look for your job after law school. Now, some people do make the choice. They can talk to their
employers can say, can I take a 60-day leave of absence in the summer, of course, and then get a summer internship with a firm or with a government agency or something. So that it is going to depend on your employer for that. But it really depends on, this is one thing that I know is very frustrating, development. It can always be independent. Everyone's unique and there's not one parameter I can give you. But all I can say is don't stress yourself out if you have to work full time and you can't do the traditional, I'm going to do my summer internship, but
I would also mention, really, of our class, only 20 people transferred halfway through the school year. So we're not talking about, like, active classes if you're just looking for a job. And I think it's also to just keep in mind, there is no traditional way of doing this whole process anymore. I mean, I think that our class is realizing that the traditional notion of having, like, an internship your first year, summer, and then a firm job your second is really kind of going down the toilet. So be creative, and if you are in a job that already has a legal aspect to it, just, I mean, really think about where you want to go and what is going to benefit you, and that should be a good guiding point for that.
The other thing about transferring is just if you apply to the one and got this program, switch halfway through. And I don't know what percentage of people switch from being full-time or part-time last year to full-time this year. I think it's quite a few of us. It's really, you'll find that it's possible to do, definitely, and it's good to keep your debt down. And those are my two. I really want to keep my debt down, which is why I applied part-time. And I just found I could be a good employee and a good student, both as well as the other two. I thought this was good.
But we get an extra summer, so are there people who continue working for that first summer and then intern the second summer and then work for a firm the third summer?
Absolutely. And actually, okay. I think, although what Greg said was good, I think we are more competitive our second summer because your first summer you won't have two-thirds of the classes that full-timers do. And the GPA, my GPA was very skewed with us. At the end, I took summer school this summer, instead of working in an internship. And my GPA became much more competitive in the summer school. So I also feel like at the end of 2.5 years, essentially, I'm going to get a lot more out of an internship if I choose to do this, because I will know more about the legal process and how lawyers think. So, yes, you have those. We have three summers instead of two, and as far as I can tell, the summer employers don't discriminate against part-time students that have ASU.
So piggybacking off that, are there people who do different jobs, who use all three summers to have an internship and then a job, but then have another job, a different law job, that's the third summer?
I think that's very common.
Really?
I have a good friend that just graduated from the degree program. She had two different summer associations. One her second summer and another her third summer, and so she was able to pick between two different offers from two different firms.
They both give you offers?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the firm, but you can have that possibility, which is great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
One thing also to realize is you can make up for what you can, if you feel like you have a hole in your law school resume. Feel bad with getting involved in a journal or on trial report, you know, other things, being a dean's fellow, you know, that gives you, this is in my position, but it's like me, but a regular dean's fellow professor does research, and that gives you great research skills, you have writing skills. So, again, the whole traditional way of doing it is going out the window. And build up your resume through alternative means besides having to go to the summer association.
For summer school, do most people take required classes or do people take electives or what?
It,
good to take one prior course, I think, because what I was in this fall. This summer, Katie and I took ethics and evidence, and then Kirsten took ethics and criminal procedure. And then criminal procedure that freed her up to take something else in the fall, because criminal procedure was required for us in the fall. And then ethics is required in the spring. So it gives you a little more flexibility in your schedule. One thing to remember, and they'll talk about this in the spring when they talk about summer school and all that, you have to have 6 credit hours to qualify for federal loans and stuff. So,
and that is a good question if I can just, have any evening students done study abroad in the summer?
Oh, you did that.
Yeah, I went to Chile this summer, and it was awesome. I highly recommend it. And it's a good option, too, for even evening students that have jobs, because it's only a month. So you would just, and it's less expensive than staying here and getting financial aid for taking 6 credits, and it includes your housing and stipend for flying down there, what have you. It depends on the program, but this is a really good way of doing that. It doesn't fulfill any of the required classes, so usually very specific to the place that you're at for the program, but it's a great option. And being an evening student, you'd be able to take advantage of it for 2 different summers if you wanted to. And a lot of people do if you decide not to go back to your job for the summer. You can do an internship afterwards. That's what I did.
For those of us who are interested in maybe getting a job with one of the government agencies, how would we go about networking with them? Is there information on that at the Career Center or anything like that?
Yes, on the third sheet, there's a transcript of a random question that mentions that about the local, and the Office of Career and Professional Development website is on there. I recommend going in and talking to a counselor. They're going to be required, one of them are required to do it, but they give evening students more flexibility. Like the daytime 1Ls are required to go, on this day at this time, that sort of thing. I walked in and said, can I see if I can apply that? And then the evening student actually will make an appointment with a counselor. It was fantastic. She helped me with the resume, a couple other stuff. I had a job at the time, and they could give you great information on networking. And there's also lots of events. Pay attention to what's going on, what's posted in the elevators, what goes on the school, on the minor UCL, that kind of thing. There's lots of events that even some people haven't been able to attend, where you can go and network. Different agencies come speak here, and different firms. So that's a great way to start out
group
too. And it doesn't have to be
normal. Laura Freegood in the OCPD is the counselor who's the ED students counselor. Obviously, you can talk to any of the counselors, but she's the one who will probably have most knowledge on the students. And Jeff Curry.
Christina Jackson is the public interest government person, and she's very good. They also have walking hours that are from and you can call in. I found out last year.
Yeah,
so you can phone walk in. So if you can't make it here, call.
But utilize them. They're a great resource. I know students at this school use them. They give you a lot of places to go look for government jobs, people to talk to. They're a really good resource.
And also, I've learned a lot about, who's out there. By going onto CareerLink and just seeing who was posting jobs and what they were looking for, they don't have any access. So you'll get the access to CareerLink once you've been officially indoctrinated by the agency. Yeah, in November.
I actually emailed them for the past last year.
They gave me one before I pulled out my degree, so.
That's why they did that for me, too. And then they set up my account automatically, so I ended up having 2 accounts and having to go in and say, hey, let me just figure it out. Yes, that's a great way to start.
Which summer internships are the most competitive?
Cruise.
you, I mean, the frequently firms firmly usually hire one to do one else in assistance.
They won't be hired.
They won't be, yeah. I highly doubt that they'll be hiring anything one else associates, but one to two at most. Judicial internships, ranging from federal to state. So it's probably, again, really competitive. Agencies at the State Department, that's really a very competitive agency as well. Probably the I wouldn't say least competitive, but if you can go find a specialty, like boutique firm or small firm, that doesn't really advertise or, you know, doesn't have that great of a name, you might be able to go find and then talk with people there. They might be willing to hire a 1L. That's been my experience. Awesome.
Once you get access to Railink, you'll also get access to Thank You. You might actually be able to look at it now, the Government Honors Handbook that University of Arizona puts out. It actually goes through all the government agencies and the internship programs that they have and says how many people applied, how many people were actually accepted, what the deadlines are, who you need to contact. It's a really, really good resource to look at. And once those deadlines start coming up, they will start telling you about them.
OCPD will walk you through using that resource if you make one.
What kind of financial aid is available to the part-time students? I probably missed this, I was speaking late. Do they provide any kind of financial aid to the part-time students?
Well, of course, the regular federal financial aid is available. And I'm not meant for all financial aid, so I highly recommend going to the financial aid office. It's been my experience that a lot of the grants from WCL are for business.
You can't sign up for a need access grant unless you're a full-time student. This scholarship that Myers, that's cool. I don't know if that's full-time or not, but they give
to the school time.
Yeah, that's not that as well.
Do they give any merit scholarships to part-time students?
They do. There's a packet. Sometime soon there'll be a packet of all the different scholarships that are available to current students in the financial aid office. Go in and get the packet and then go through and see which ones you're interested or feel like you would qualify for, and then you submit them all through one application on a certain day. And there are some in there that are just for student students. So if you look in there and you see what you feel like you would qualify for, you should apply.
Also, one way to get I would recommend doing it this semester if you're just starting out, but one way to get a little money here, a little money there, is to enter writing competitions. There's a link on the library website, I think. And on the library website for writing competitions. And these are for any topic under the sun. Sometimes they have restrictions on who can apply because it's given out by the Hellenic Society or the Irish Society or something. But it's you know, if it's another sort, they don't, other than the qualifications or who, if they restricted by who or that, it's pretty much open to anyone. And there's one I know out of Texas that is it's $10,000. So, start looking at those. And then don't start like writing on email, but if you go and find out when they're due, you know, a lot of them are due in the late spring and summer. That's something you could sort of plan for. And it's another resource that's available for you. And not a lot of people like me go for
it. I think that's also a good opportunity to network with professors if you find a particular topic that you're interested in writing about. Either, you know, find a professor that you have now or find a professor or someone on campus that is involved in that, is an expert in that, and go speak with them about, you know, what are the hot button issues, what direction should I take this paper, and that's another opportunity to reach out.
Along the same lines on that, during your first year, you should really try and make a good connection with a professor, whether it be your writing professor or Professor Popper, because you're eventually going to need a letter of recommendation for something, whether it's a job or a reference. And so maybe not just for the participation grade, but just to have a professor who knows you and can really write a good recommendation for you, I would suggest that for the first semester or first year.
When you were mentioning this, like the scholarship, you know, like, oh, this pack will become available, like, it just seems like this is the third week now. It seems like there's so much information that nobody tells us. And I was just wondering, like, what's your best advice in terms of figuring that stuff out? Is it the docket thing? Like,
well, Greg is on ELSA board. And they are meeting law students. Yeah, Evening Law Students Association. And each week, they're going through the docket and pulling out the information that will pertain to the law. You don't have to scroll through the 18 pages of documents. That's a great way, to, great place to start.
We can buy the
So that's a great way to start on that. Yes, there is a lot of information, and I will try to keep on top of things to let y'all know. I don't overwhelm you with emails either, but you're right. There's a lot of information that comes out. There's a lot of things that can slip by me, and one of my goals this year, starting with this panel, is to try to make sure you all have the information. Just ask. It's like, just harass people.
I mean, I think she's exactly right. They do a terrible job of communicating to students, especially the Eugene students. And so, I mean, our class obviously had the same problem, so that's why I also tried to send out that docket. I don't know if it was helpful because the first week or not. Hopefully, it was.
Did
everyone
get that down?
You can come talk to me and I'll make sure.
Okay. Thanks.
But you have to be proactive about it. And sadly enough, they're not going to come tell you, hey, this deadline's coming for this journal or whatnot. You honestly have to go search for it. That's why we tried to make just everything condensed and make it easier for you guys. If you have any suggestions for what we can do, for what else I can do, I guess, to help communicate with you guys better, let us know. I don't know.
You can also pass information.
Yeah, she's a great resource. She knows a lot of what's happening. The professors, obviously communicate with her quite often, so.
Good question. It's more of an academic one. Are there any things that you guys found that you can do outside, kind of above and beyond class, that actually helps a lot? I know you're saying, like, limit your time and stuff, but you had mentioned, like, the library has a nutshell. Is there anything, like, a study aid that helps a lot?
It's going to be different for each person. Yes, there are studies. There are a lot of really good studies out there. The first person to ask is to ask the professor which one they recommend, because sometimes they're geared towards the actual textbook, and sometimes they're geared to the professor likes the information. However, went out of my head. I've had success with the manuals for evidence. I know Kirsten really likes the nutshell.
Yes.
And go to the library, flip through the, or go to Barnes & Noble, whatever, flip through a couple of different types of study aids. Because there's going to be one that suits your style better.
And the nutshell, the library has all of those recent nutshells on reserve, so you can't take them out for 2 hours that they're there. Also, I think if there's any particular area, for example, I was really interested in sports. There were also specific areas of sports that I was really interested in. So when I knew that reading was coming up, sometimes I would go into the footnotes of the textbook and skim a law review article or skim a case that looked interesting so that when that came up in class, if it was at all related to anything else that I had read, and interject that, or if it's not related to the class, you can go up to the professor afterwards and say, hey, I read this. How does it pertain to blah, blah, blah? Both to make you, that makes you stand out, and that also can get you some more information to make you that helps you, I don't know, pick a writing topic at some point for a competition or something.
Right?
Can I?
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I used exams and explanations. I found that really helpful. It really makes you know the information when they ask you those questions at the end of the chapter, and I have to know your stuff to answer the questions. So that makes me make sure I'm comprehending the material. I mean, it is personal. I've heard a lot of people like the E&E books, but it is personal.
Any way that you can just do some sort of practice and apply the knowledge of your and then I know Greg and I both read Getting to Maybe, which is a book that helps you prepare for exams. It really, not that you need to
stress about exams right now,
but if you want to read it leisurely over the semester, it gives you some really good ideas as far as like the approach and the philosophy that professors take when they're writing the exam, so you have a better sense of the type of answers that they're looking for. It's really more of like a style thing than a knowledge thing at this point. It's not like you can do a great number of the things on YouTube, and that the book is really helpful in that front.
You need to
make it, yeah. Far
What was the name of the book again?
Getting to Maybe.
Okay.
Just those nutshells, where are they? Who publishes them? Who
they're published by West.
By West.
They're pretty expensive if you buy them. I made that mistake too. You can get them on my Hot Tip, but I can't move this away. Now, you can get them on eBay, you can get them on Amazon used, or just right there in the reserve. They're a little, they're like this big, and it's really just broad brush strokes of a topic, and then they will cite sort of the leading cases. And if you want to, you can look up those cases, or you're probably going to read those cases in the textbook. Also, this is a little secret. There are CDs in the reserve media room, which is your first left and then another left in the reserve room, that cover an entire course in a couple of hours. That might be useful to you, it might not. I drive an insane amount of time, so I... Anyway, I download them to my iPod. I download them to and I listen to them. Sometimes it's useful, sometimes it's not. The way our contrast class was taught, it was very different from every other contrast class, so that wasn't so useful, but for course it was useful. Other classes, it was useful just to get big ideas and figure out thinking about it while you're in training class.
If we're going to transfer or try to transfer to the full-time program next semester, when do we start to worry about that? I know we have to get a letter from the dean.
No, you'll get an email, and it'll say you have the option to transfer. You have to take the form, and you literally just give it to the registrar's office, and then you have
to pay for
it.
Yeah, after that, as long as you have an above 3.0, I think you're automatically in. So,
online, they make it seem like it's a real big deal. You have to have like a meeting, you might not get in.
Yeah, they say that just a couple of times. But.
Everyone who wants to transfer, whether you're allowed to after the first semester or you want to after the first year, you will be able to transfer.